This is the National Public Broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American Society leader. The following lecture was recorded May the 6th, the year 2001, at the Riverbank State Park in Harlem, New York. The lecturer is Imam W.D. Muhammad.
My father was in prison. My mother took me to see him maybe two or three times. I know two times. He was in prison in Milan, Michigan. Federal Correction Institution, prison, federal jail, federal prison. And one time, she came to me and she said, "Wallace, your father sent something from the Quran and he wants me to read it to you." And she read it to me. And he said, "And he wants me to give it to you." And she gave it to me, the paper that it was on. And it was Luqman's advice to his son. And look, the words from Luqman, the chapter Luqman, advising his son, "I won't give it all to you to save time. I'm just going to give you the part that was for me, that he gave to me. If anyone strives with you to get you to believe of me," this is God speaking, "that for which you have no knowledge base, don't obey them. But if your parents, keep good company with them in the world." Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful. Strong against shirk or false worship, but putting the mother up high. "But if your mother wants you to believe something that's wrong of me, don't follow it if you have a knowledge that's against what she's telling you, but still keep good company with her in the world." Oh, I could love that God, I'm telling you. If I could love that God as a human being, I would be kissing him eternally, feet and all. I'd be kissing him eternally. I wouldn't have no time to do anything but kiss him eternally. That's what my love is for God, a God like that. Yes, so I was given that as a child, and I'm a small child. I was younger than my son here. This is the youngest of our children. He's sitting here now, Muhammad. He looks small for his age. He's 10 years old. He'll be 11 in July 6th, pretty soon. And I'm going to have a nice birthday present for you, Muhammad. Don't worry. He'll be 11 pretty soon. Praise be to Allah. And so I was younger than he is, maybe by 5 years or so. But I recall that very vividly, as though it just happened yesterday. I recall my mother giving me that. Now that came from my father. His teacher said those things about me to my mother to take care of me. How could a child not love a man that was a stranger, came from another country, but came and talked to my father and won my father's heart, won my mother's heart, taught my mother how to cook himself? You know, my mother was taught by Mr. Farad himself how to cook the foods that we used to eat and that many of us still eat. Brown rice and all that, bean soup and all that. He taught my mother himself. He was in the kitchen. He's the one that taught my mother. So how can a son not love that person that did that? And a father who's locked up and sent a son by the hand of his mother, words like I shared with you, "Do not follow your parents." That's how it goes in Luqman. It says, "If your parents strive with you to have you associate with me, that which you have no knowledge base, don't follow them, but keep good company with them in the world." That means for the rest of their life, as long as they're living, you're supposed to keep good company with them. That's a wonderful God. Now, my father sent that to me. Don't you know I have to be thankful to him? Don't you know that endeared me to him more than anything else that he had done? Because actually, I didn't have a father in my house until I was 13 years old. No father in my house, except through my mother, or with my mother. And believe me, she kept him more present than he could have been if he was there physically. When he came and started living with us after imprisonment, we had it easy. Yeah, he was mild. She didn't have to enforce the law for him, you know. He was there, you know. And she could relax a little bit. I said a little bit. She was still, as he said, I'll whip the skin off your bones. She was still to be feared. Though he was there, milder man, much milder human being, much milder human being. Yes. So I'm sharing this with you so you can see better. Me. If you see me better, then you can accept me better. I'm not after money. I've never been. And I want you to know my father was not after money except for a cause. He's never been. I've seen the ring, I saw a fancy diamond pin on his tie once. And he was conscious of me and I was conscious of him. When he noticed that I was looking at it, he gave me a sign, didn't say a thing. Gave me a sign with his face. Tell me I'm not, son, this is not me. I'm not impressed with this thing. He didn't have to say a word with his mouth. And I was very confident. He had fancy cars. Cadillacs, new Cadillacs. But never was he attached to those things. I'm telling you something about all the items that you need to know. He was never attached to those things. But he fooled that new group. He pretended like this is, oh yes, we're being put now in heaven, brothers. This is the heaven God promised us. No, that was not him. He was fooling the new leaders so he could use them to help him build the business to impress our people to come and join the Nation of Islam. I have had to do the same thing. When I started out, I had to use people that I was not compatible with. I had no likeness. I found in them nothing of the spirit that was in me. But I had to use them to get support for what I wanted to do at that time. And that is change it, bend it until it was straight enough to leave it alone. And they were there to help me bend it because they were set among us to destroy what we had before. So they used me and I used them. The only difference, I used them up and they didn't use me up. And most of them, when they saw that I had gotten all out of them that I needed or wanted, they respected me so much. A big one, maybe the biggest one among them, in the leadership, he said to me, he said, Minister, Supreme Minister, he called me back then. He said, Supreme Minister, I don't want to hurt you. I know what you want to do. I see what you're doing. So I'm not going to hurt you. I'm going to just go. I'll just leave. And he left. He said, if anything you ever need from me, just call. Just ask. Now that was a man that I pray God keep him and bless him with a good life here and hereafter. That was a strong and honorable man. Another one almost as big as he was trying to get me to pick on a style, a fancy style as a leader, wear fancy robes looking like Christian minister's robes, that red old big old bishop robes, or big old robes and stuff. So I pretended to go along for a while. But when I got a chance to actually have him tailor that robe for me, I had to let him know, no, I can't do that. And he was trying at the same time, giving me all kind of high books on high science and religion and the mysteries of religion and stuff, because he had taken such courses like that in college. That was his qualification as a graduate, college graduate. He was qualified in religious symbols and mysteries of religion, Christianity. So he's giving me all these big books. So he came with this other big man once with a big old book like this, after coming with one big like that before. Come with another one big like that. So I had to stop him. I say, those are not the books. I say, just a little portion of the Quran is more than you have in all those books. That's what I told him. I didn't get any more of that stuff from him. They stopped. They respected me. So anyway, this one told me, now out of the clear blue sky, we in the secretary's office, we just working. He just out of the clear blue sky looked at me, and I could see the dislike in his eyes. He said, go on and go blind then. Not a word said between him, me and him, that day, on anything like that, all in their business. He looked at me in my eyes and said, go on and go blind then. He left me and never came back. I didn't say a word to him. What was I to say to him? He's telling me to go on and go blind. I wouldn't say anything to him. It's finished with him. I can't help you, but I don't want you to help me. So he left and never came back. I pray for him too, that God will give him good, that maybe one day he'll come this way. Yes, I do. Because his rejection of me was not personal. He was an agent with a job to do. And certainly my rejection of him was not personal. I'm an agent too, with a job to do. Praise be to Allah. I could hear somebody saying something. I don't care what you say. I don't even have time for it anymore. God has brought me into the field of great works. I don't have time for that anymore. Yes. So that gives you a picture of my father and me. My mother, I can describe her in one sentence. She lived and died for W.D. Farrar and her husband, Elijah Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. Nature doesn't give us strong, special people like that often. They don't come often. So I want to end this first part of my talk to you, or presentation to you today, with this. I'm happier now as your leader than I've ever been. It's rejoicing time now. The bad times, troubles, times have gone. It's rejoicing time now. Praise be to Allah. But it's not time to drop our guard. Rejoicing time is a time when you, if you're wise, the time when you should be most alert. Because while you're rejoicing, Shaitan will come in and do his thing. Brothers come in the egg meat market. I'm really thankful to Allah for that facility and very proud of it and us that we had the money to get it and equip it. Not through equipping it, but we made a good start. They come in there and they see me with apron on, cutting the meat up or something. In the 50s, might have been close to 1960, whatever time Minister Farrakhan joined the Nation of Islam, that's where it was, he came on a Savior's Day to Chicago, as all of you did, who were out of Chicago. We were there. And he came to the restaurant. At the time, I was the manager of the restaurant. But how did I get to be the manager of that restaurant? My father started me off on 31st and Wentworth with my brother, slaughtering live chickens. Yes, we slaughtered our own chickens back then under the honor of Elijah Muhammad. And you know what he told us to say before we cut the throat? He said, told us to say, Bismillah. And he said, and then say, now he didn't have the whole thing, but what he had knowledge of, he used it. He gave it to us. He said, say, Bismillah. He said, and then say, creature, if you can save your life, save it. My brother Elijah, who was assistant supreme captain, he was the one, Elijah and me, slaughtering the chicken. Gutting them, pardon me, scalding them, cleaning the feathers off, and then gutting them and cutting them up. That's what we did when I was about 14 years old. No more than 14, 15 years old. So you see where my experience come from? Way back there under the honor of Elijah Muhammad. A man who knew nothing about running a store, a restaurant, knew nothing about cutting meat. He was no butcher. But he had the courage to go and get the knowledge and do it. And let me tell you, the first cut he put in the cage, I saw them as a teenager. They look as beautiful as any cuts I ever seen in any grocery store. The honor of Elijah Muhammad cuts that he made. So what is that doing for me? God is working through my father to affect me, to get me to be the person I should be for the job that's coming. So how did that affect me? If I got to do something, I'm going to do it. And I don't care what I have to do to get it done. Short of displeasing God, I'm going to do it. God knows that he has given me a spirit. If I wouldn't freeze to death, I could tunnel through 300 miles of snow, 20 feet high, with a teaspoon, if I had to. So I'm not exaggerating. If I didn't die, I could keep at it until I get to that 300 mile place where I'd be out of that high snow and ice. I could do that. And I got some people who close around me. They would say, yeah, he'll do it. He'll live or he'll die trying to tunnel through that ice and snow. That comes from my father and my mother. Both of them were tenacious people of a tenacious will. Tenacious means holding together and refusing to come loose. Tenacious. Tenacious will and spirit. My mother and my father. Now, why is all that? Why God had it that I have mama and daddy and I've come out like them in their determination to succeed? For you. He ain't doing that. Didn't do that for our family. He did that for you. Can you understand that? One of us, our family of us, we don't need that kind of exceptional person. We can make it with just a little bit of what my father and mother had. But to get the whole people to go where they're supposed to go, you need that extraordinary willpower and determination, tenacious spirit and will. You need that. So God created my mother and father and me for you. Now you're going to turn us down?
I can't understand you. He didn't do it for us, he did it for you.
All right, buddy.
And he didn't get you just for us. He got you for the rest of the world. If they see, when they see what we accomplished from where we came from, the whole world going to be affected. If there's anything powerful enough to straighten the Islamic world up, the international Islamic world up, it's you. You. And if we affect the Islamic world, the international world of Islam, in a way to make them straighten up and fly right, oh, the time of Muhammad's going to come back to this earth. And thank God we don't have to shed blood. The world is much more civilized and humane than it was way back there. It'll be easy. Easy. And God will do it with us or without us. But I know he has chosen us. He didn't choose all of Elijah Muhammad. He chose us. And he didn't choose Wallace. He chose us. We cannot stop now. Allahu Akbar. Praise be to Allah. This is no small thing. No small thing. My father was not a prophet. He was not a messenger of God that got revelation like Muhammad or the messengers and prophets got. In fact, he told you. I didn't get mine that way. I got mine from a man, from God in the flesh, in person. And you know, what he said was wrong and what he said was right. If a man gives his whole life and purpose to God, then God is in that man. God is in his flesh. You hear what I'm saying? Well, where you have the Quranic proof? Where you have proof of that? I wouldn't say it if I didn't have it. God knows I kill myself before I lie against the Quran. Allah says in the Quran that he, where is he? He says he hovers between a mortal, that means a flesh and blood person, and his heart. And his heart. So if he hovers between my body and my heart, then he's inside me. He's inside me. He's inside me, keeping me, preserving me. And you know, all the great religions of the book and the Quran and Islam, which was established by the Quran and Muhammad, the Prophet, peace be upon him, say that God is everywhere. Allah says he wants us to give our attention and our focus to the house, the holy sacred house built by Abraham and his son Ishmael. Ibrahim and Ismail, the two prophets, father and son. But he says also in the Quran, whichever way you turn yourself or your face, there you will find the face of God. So whichever way I turn, he said, whichever way, let me, God, 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 God. He is everywhere. He's more present than space. Because space changes. God does not. Space is weakened depending on what's there. God does not. So actually, he is more present than space itself. God. And I know, and I tell my son, I want my son to know that it gets the best. I don't want him to get the second or
weak dose or message of Islam, I want him to get the best. He could tell you, I didn't have to tell you that. Muhammad could have told you that. He could have told you. You ask him, is God inside you? He said, yes. Is God in the sky? Yes. When we say Allahu Akbar, we're saying Allah is bigger. He's bigger than the universe. He's bigger than all that you can see. And yet, as the Old Testament says, isn't it wonderful? You who too big for the heavens of heavens to hold, dwell right here in this small place. Isn't that wonderful? Praise be to Allah. This is necessary. If it wasn't, I wouldn't do it. Now, before I go further, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, I want to say this to you. The money world is the cross of C-R-O-S-S. The money world is a cross. On it lies a crucified. We don't have our hopes in money. Money is only a means to an end. Believers want a religious community that they can feel good about. And just like the poorest one of us like to dress up nicer, we want to dress our community up nicer. We don't want our schools in a condition that shame us, not to mention how it shames the Quran and the Muhammad's way. We don't want our masjid, our center, shaming us. We don't want our teachers shaming us. We have to bring everything up to par so that we feel good when we look at it and we can celebrate our accomplishments. To do that, we have to have money. And I'm not the leader that will allow, with my endorsement or with my consent, your leader that came to be following me to oppress you and treat you like you're pack animals or slaves. I won't accept that. So if I won't accept that, how are they going to get the money? You don't have enough money for them to put them in nice cars, nice living quarters, and dress them up nicely. You're poorer than they are. You don't have enough money for that. So we got to get the money. And the only way I know to get it is the way the world has gotten it. Business. Business. We have to be business. We have to have business sense, and we have to do business in a business way.
Be sure to join us next time for the National Public Broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American Society Leader. For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6653. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Jones, he's local distributor. And thanks for listening.